I'm Roger Baker, Executive Director of the Stratfor Center for Applied Geopolitics at RAIN, a global center of excellence for geopolitical intelligence and analysis. Learn how you can put geopolitics to work for your organization at RAINnetwork.com.
Hello and welcome to RAIN's Essential Geopolitics podcast. Since the onset of the October 7th Israel-Hamas war, Hezbollah has launched attacks against Israel's north in support of Hamas in Gaza, prompting the Israelis to retaliate in an ongoing cycle of tit-for-tat exchanges. Though these clashes have remained limited in scope, they've expanded and escalated in the past few months, elevating the risks of a wider war between the two foes, the first since the 2006 July war. I'm joined today by Freddie Querry, RAIN's global security analyst, to provide some context for this conflict and share the likely outcomes of the current situation. Hi, Freddie. How are you?
Hey, Emma. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming on. To start us off, can you explain the current status quo, as in what's the situation? What have we seen in these exchanges since October 7th?
Yeah, so as you've pointed out, on October 8th, Hezbollah joined the Israel-Hamas war, albeit in a limited sense, to support Hamas following its surprise attack on Israel. Since then, Hezbollah and Israel have been bogged down in a steadily escalating but relatively limited cross-border exchanges. So as the Gaza war went on, and it's still ongoing, the exchanges expanded both in scope of intensity, frequency, and geography, with Israel striking Hezbollah targets in Syria and deep into Lebanese territory in the Bekaa Valley on the country's northeast several times, but also killing senior Hamas official Saleh al-Aruri in the Beirut suburbs, which is a Hezbollah stronghold. At the same time, Hezbollah expanded its bank of objectives, targeting major Israeli army command bases, such as the Mount Meron air surveillance base, and the Israeli army command bases in Safad and the Golan Heights, with barrages of Katyusha rockets and suicide drones. Also, most recently, Hezbollah downed an advanced Israeli Hermes 900 drone, prompting Israel to strike deep again into the Bekaa in response. Even so, the bulk of the clashes have occurred closely and mostly on either side of the border, destroying and largely emptying border towns. But at the same time, we've had numerous diplomatic initiatives by U.S. envoys, European and Western foreign ministers trying to avert a full-scale war between the two foes and advance a diplomatic settlement.
And what are Israel and Hezbollah's aims from the escalating tit-for-tat exchanges?
So both Israel and Hezbollah have different objectives from these escalating border clashes. For Hezbollah, engaging in this tit-for-tat exchanges with Israel was first and foremost in support of Hamas in Gaza, solidifying what the Axis of Resistance labels as unity of the fields, which is sort of a coordinated battlefield and the coordinated participation of the different groups in the Axis of Resistance from Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Yemen, and Palestine. This strategy is for these groups key in their perceived deterrence vis-a-vis Israel in the region. Even so, Hezbollah, and for various domestic logistical and regional constraints, did not engage in a wider war with Israel to support Hamas because the group is aiming to maintain the status quo that had existed before the war, rather than go to a war that will prove destructive for both the group and Lebanon as a whole. So the rules of engagement that Hezbollah is trying to maintain are a set of unwritten rules in which Israel does not target Hezbollah in Lebanon specifically because of the deterrence existing since the stalemate of the 2006 war and what Hezbollah labels as the balance of fear. Additionally, Hezbollah sees a chance in this conflict to compel Israel eventually into negotiations on delimiting 13 contested border points, including the Shabaa farms, which will likely translate as domestic gains for Hezbollah in Lebanon politically. In sum, Hezbollah sees a continuation of these clashes without eventually provoking a wider war, but then enabling a diplomatic settlement as a victory. On the other hand, Israel has increasingly kept expanding its attacks against Hezbollah with the aim of maximizing tactical gains that will culminate in later strategic ones. Israel is trying to change the unwritten rules of engagement with Hezbollah to its advantage, trying to normalize deeper and more significant strikes that would result in more significant Hezbollah losses. In doing so, The Israelis assess that Hezbollah's choice of strategic patience and its unwillingness to go to war are weaknesses that enable Israel to continue pushing the boundaries of their grain zone conflict. This means Israel will likely keep conducting greater strikes against the group's assets in both Lebanon and the wider region, particularly in Syria, in the hopes of pushing Hezbollah into either caving in any potential diplomatic settlement or retaliating to the extent of provoking a larger Israeli reaction that would compel the United States to support Israel. I would like to note here that the U.S. still doesn't support an unprovoked war with Lebanon. So, by continuing down this path, Israel is also likely hoping to gain leverage in any potential diplomatic settlement that could enable it to extract more concessions from the group, like, for example, the establishment of a buffer zone on the Israeli-Lebanese border, which would force Hezbollah's elite units, the Radwan Brigades, to retreat farther north. However, despite escalating its targeting of Hezbollah assets and commanders geographically, Israel's attacks have not yet crossed the threshold that would risk triggering a wider war with the group, given first and foremost Hezbollah's unwillingness to be dragged into one. A likely Hezbollah red line that would compel the group into a wider war would involve the Israeli targeting of Hezbollah officials in Beirut, for example, resulting in massive civilian losses and or targeting vital infrastructure.
So based on these respective goals and potential scenarios that you've laid out, what are the potential upcoming outlooks and their implications both on countries and on businesses with interests in the region?
So we believe that Israel and Hezbollah will likely further head into a steady escalation, with strikes continuing to deepen and Hezbollah responding in a proportionate way. Even so, both sides will try to push the limits of their clash, but still under the threshold of an attack that could provoke a wider war. This means Israel will likely keep conducting greater strikes against the group's assets in both Lebanon and the wider region in the hopes of gaining tactical wins and pushing Hezbollah into either caving or retaliating to the extent of provoking a larger Israeli reaction, compelling the United States to then support Israel. Hezbollah, on the other hand, will continue to target significant Israeli military assets and bases, while also striking civilian targets whenever Lebanese civilian targets are attacked by Israel first. Their calculus is to try to maintain the original status quo and the unwritten rules of engagement, while extracting maximum concessions from Israel in a potential negotiated settlement that could be framed as a victory domestically. Taken together, these threats will collectively maintain the elevated risks of a miscalculated attack by either side that could provoke a wider war between them. Currently, the strikes are mostly affecting businesses and logistical operations in Israel's northern areas. If a worst-case scenario were to happen or occur, where Israel strikes Beirut and causes significant damage or casualties, and Hezbollah retaliates against a major city, such as potentially Haifa, this will then likely result in a spiraling out-of-control type of scenario, which will likely then result in personal and traveler security threats, as well as disruption to business continuity, transportation, and logistics in both major Israeli and Lebanese cities.
Thank you, Freddie. We will continue to follow up with you on this as it develops, of course. Appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Emma.
You can read more of Freddie's analyses from RAIN by subscribing to RAIN's geopolitical intelligence products. Our suite of products and solutions allow clients to access the insights and analyses they need to make more informed decisions. You can sign up or learn more at our website, rainnetwork.com. That's RANENetwork.com. I'm Emma Kami. Thanks for listening.